Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopijana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari.
Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Vidyavada Kacharya. Astotara Satsasiv Shri Maharaj, Divine Grace of Hacharyananda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Vidyavada Kacharya. Astotara Satsasiv Shri Maharaj, Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Santa Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitai Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the sum of devotees. All glories to the sum of devotees. All glories to the sum of devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Padaya Sarvadale. Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini. Namaste Sarasati Bebe Gauravani Pachani Mirishisha Shunyavadi Pasta Chari Satarini. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gauravakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Continuing our reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, I was told by Archita that we're starting from 88. I don't know if that's correct. Right? Okay. So, we'll read the Bengali and then move on through the verses. And there's a number of points we wanted to make on some of Srila Prabhupada's purports, which are just so incredible. They could be a class in themselves. But I understand that we have to get through this chapter. We'll just go as far as we can go. Text number 88.
Apana lukaite Krishna nana yatna kare tatapi tanhara bhakta janaye tanhare.
Translation. Lord Sri Krishna tries to hide himself in various ways, but nevertheless, his pure devotees know him as he is.
Ulangita trividashima samatishayi sambhavanam tava parivrittima sambhavam maya balena bhavatapi niguyamanam pashyanti kechid anisham twarananya bhava.
Translation. O my Lord, everything within this material nature is limited by time, space, and thought. Your characteristics, however, being unequaled and unsurpassed, are always transcendental to such limitations. You sometimes cover such characteristics by your own energy, but nevertheless, your unalloyed devotees are always able to see you under all circumstances. Purport. By His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. This verse is also quoted from the Stotra Ratna of Jamunacharya. Everything covered by the influence of Maya is within the limited boundaries of space, time, and thought. Even the greatest manifestation we can conceive, the sky, also has limitations. From the authentic scriptures, however, it is evident that beyond the sky is a covering of seven layers, each 10 times thicker than the one preceding it. The covering layers are vast, but with or without coverings, space is limited. Our power to think about space and time is also limited. Time is eternal. We may imagine billions and trillions of years, but that will still be an inadequate estimate of the extent of time. Our imperfect senses, therefore, cannot think of the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nor can we bring Him within the limitations of time and our thinking power. His position is accordingly described by the word ulanghita. He is transcendental to space, time, and thought. Although He appears within them, He exists transcendentally. Even when the Lord's transcendental existence is disguised by space, time, and thought, however, pure devotees of the Supreme Lord can see Him in His personal features beyond space, time, and thought. In other words, even though the Lord is not visible to the eyes of ordinary men, those who are beyond the covering layers, because of their transcendental devotional service, can still see Him. The sun may appear covered by a cloud, but actually it is the eyes of the tiny people below the cloud that are covered, not the sun. If those tiny people rose above the cloud in an airplane, they could then see the sunshine and the sun without impediment. Similarly, although the covering of Maya is very strong, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:14, Daya bihi eshu guna mayi mama maya dratyaya mam eva ye prabhajante mayam etam tanantite. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered onto me can easily cross beyond it. To surpass the influence of the illusory energy is very difficult, but those who are determined to catch hold of the lotus feet of the Lord are freed from the clutches of Maya. Therefore, pure devotees can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but demons, because of their miscreant behavior, cannot understand the Lord, in spite of seeing the many revealed scriptures and the uncommon activities of the Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnana Jana Shalakaya Chakshu Militam Jena Tasmai Sivaravinma Mukham Kurati Vachalam Pangam Langaya Tekirima Kipnama Desigram Dina Tarnam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram. So just a few words about this particular purport. As Prabhupada very nicely points out here, that the from the authentic scriptures, it is evident that beyond the sky is a covering of seven layers. And we know from Bhagavatam that's earth, water, fire, air, sky, the Mahatattva, and false ego. And as Prabhupada points out here, that each layer is 10 times larger than the previous. And it's an interesting how Srila Prabhupada makes this point, because although it's such a vast expanse, and to cross it is beyond our understanding, the time factor, that not only are the seven layers there, but they're also covered by a pradhana, and this is every universe. And within that universe, there are so many lokas, right? 14 lokas. This is described in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam. And that's even subdivided further into the lokas, or the islands. And in the midst of all of that is the sun, which is a billion miles from the edge of the universe. It's in the center. So this it's beyond material calculation, practically speaking. It's described how there are innumerable universes and they're unlimitedly large. It's not that it's only this particular size, just like in the Krishna book is described how we have the four-headed Brahma here, and then other universes there are Brahmas with tens and hundreds and thousands and millions of heads. So although there are innumerable universes and they're unlimitedly large, they move about like atoms within the Lord. They're just so insignificant. We can't imagine. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada makes this wonderful point here that our imperfect senses therefore cannot think of the personality of Godhead, the greatness of the personality of Godhead. That within himself, all of this creation is going on. Just as in the example, the wonderful example he gives here is just as the sun may appear to be covered by the clouds, dwarfed by the clouds, as soon as you get above the clouds, anyone who's been on an airplane can see that, or if you go up in the mountains someplace in a high place, high destination, as soon as you get above the cloud cover, the sun comes out and it's there in its full glory. So as soon as that covering gets removed, and it's interesting how Prabhupada throughout these next few verses talks about how that covering can be removed. It's very interesting how he breaks it down. But as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that this divine energy mind consisting of the modes of material nature, it's easy to overcome once one surrenders onto the personality of Godhead. That is the secret to advancing in devotional life. And this chapter is leading up to that point of showing how it's by the Lord's devotees, the mercy and the attachment that the devotees of the Lord have to the personality of Godhead, that he becomes attracted. Right? As Prabhupada explains here at the end of the purport, the Lord, in spite of seeing the many revealed, therefore, pure devotee, the pure devotee can understand the personality of Godhead. But demons, because of their miscreant behavior, cannot understand the Lord in spite of seeing the many revealed scriptures and the uncommon activities of the Lord. They may see and recognize the material nature in its glory. But beyond all of that is the personality of Godhead, who is the origin. Text number 90.
Asurya svabhave krishne kabu nahi jane lukaite nare krishna bhakta janastane.
Those whose nature is demoniac cannot know Krishna at any time, but he cannot hide himself from his pure devotees. Purport. People who develop the nature of asuras like Ravana and Hiranyakashipu can never know Krishna, the personality of Godhead, by challenging the authority of Godhead. But Sri Krishna cannot hide himself from his pure devotees. Sadhunam hridayam mayam, sadhunam hridayam toham. The reason they can't hide because he can't hide himself is because the devotees are keeping them, the Lord, within their heart. And because he's so close, Krishna becomes attracted.
Dvayabhuta sargau lokesnun daiva asura eva cha Vishnu bhakta smrito daiva asurastadiparyaya.
Translation. There are two classes of men in the created world. One consists of the demoniac and the other of the godly. The devotees of Lord Vishnu are the godly, whereas those who are just the opposite are called demons. Purport. This is a verse from Padma Purana. Vishnu bhaktas, or devotees in Krishna consciousness, are known as devas, demigods. Atheists do not believe in God, or who declare themselves God, are asuras. Asuras always engage in atheistic material activities, exploring ways to utilize the resources of matter to enjoy sense gratification. The Vishnu bhaktas, Krishna conscious devotees, are also active, but their objective is to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by devotional service. Superficially, both classes may appear to work in the same way, but their purposes are completely opposite because of a difference in consciousness. Asuras work for personal sense gratification, whereas devotees work for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. Both work conscientiously, but their motives are different. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant for devas, or devotees. Demons cannot take part in Krishna conscious activities, nor can devotees in Krishna consciousness take part in demoniac activities or work like cats and dogs simply for sense gratification. Such activity does not appeal to those in Krishna consciousness. Devotees accept only the bare necessities of life to keep themselves fit to act in Krishna consciousness. The balance of their energy is used for developing Krishna consciousness, through which one can be transferred to the abode of Krishna by always thinking of him, even at the point of death. So, here Srila Prabhupada is pointing out how the devotees are very dear to the personality of Godhead. And although sometimes they may struggle in their services, and we all have that experience, that in the course of one's devotional work, there may be the allurements of Maya.
the demons, of course, are 100% engaged in these materialistic activities. They're pramata kuru devi karma. They're mad after engaging in sense gratification. And sometimes, even the devotees may sometimes become bewildered. But because they're engaged in devotional service, they're able to turn away, or even in the course of their devotional life, again, they may have some struggle. But because Krishna is the center of their lives, Krishna appreciates that. Bhava Grahi Janardana. Krishna accepts the essence of the devotee's service. So even though that service may sometimes be challenging, or one may stumble, Krishna's attracted to the essence that is there within the heart of that offering. And as they advance, as Prabhupada points out here, further in devotional life, they accept only the bare necessities of life to keep themselves fit to act in Krishna consciousness. Again, we may sometimes become confused and think, I need to add this to my devotional life, and it becomes a distraction. But because their energy is used for developing Krishna consciousness, Krishna appreciates that. And as Prabhupada points out here, through that, by that attitude, one can be transferred to the abode of Krishna. And in that way, his thinking is on that Supreme Lord at the point of death, as Prabhupada points here. Points out here, even at the point of death. Acharya Gosani Prabhura Bhakta Avatara Krishna Avatara Hetu Yanhara Hunkara. Advaita Acharya Goswami is an incarnation of the Lord as a devotee. His loud calling was the cause for Krishna's incarnation. Krishna Yari Pitivite Karina Avatara Partame Karane Guru Vargera Sanchara. Whenever Sri Krishna desires to manifest his incarnation on earth, first he creates the incarnations of his respectable predecessors. Pita Mata Guru Adi Yata Manye Ghara Gana Partame Karena Sabhara Pritivite Janama. Thus, respectable personalities, such as his father, mother, and spiritual master, all take birth on earth first. Madhava Ishvara Puri Sachis Jagannatha Advaita Chaya Pakata Hailase Sata Sata. Madhavendra Puri, Ishvara Puri, Srimati Sachimata, and Srila Jagannath Mishra all appeared with Sri Advaita Acharya. Purport. Whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends in his human form, he sends ahead all his devotees who act as his father, teacher, and associates in many roles. Such personalities appear before the descent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, before the appearance of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There appeared his devotees like Sri Madhavendra Puri, his spiritual master Sri Ishvara Puri, his mother, Srimati Sachi Devi, his father, Sri Jagannath Mishra, and Sri Advaita Acharya. Prakatiya Deke Acharya Sakala Sangsara Krishna Bhakti Gandhahina Vishaya Vyavahara. Advaita Acharya, having appeared, he found the world devoid of devotional service to Sri Krishna because people were engrossed in material affairs. Keva pape keha punye kare vishaya bhoga bhakta ganda nahi ate yaya bhava roga.
Everyone was immersed, engaged in material enjoyment, whether sinfully or virtuously. No one was interested in the transcendental service of the Lord, which can give total relief from the repetition of birth and death. Purport. Advaitacharya saw the entire world to be engaged in activities of material piety and impiety, without a trace of devotional service or Krishna consciousness anywhere. The fact is that in this material world, there is no scarcity of anything except Krishna consciousness. Material necessities are supplied by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. We sometimes feel scarcity because of our mismanagement. But the real problem is that people are out of touch with Krishna consciousness. Everyone is engaged in material sense gratification, but people have no plan for making an ultimate solution to their real problems, namely birth, death, old age, and disease. These four miseries are called bhava-roga, or material diseases. They can be cured only by Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is the greatest benediction for human society. Just as in the pastime of Prithu and Bhumi, she withheld her opulences, and the citizenry were suffering, the world was suffering. And when Prithu Maharaj came before her and was ready to punish her, asking why is she withholding, her answer was that because the leaders of the world, because of the activities that are going on in the world, the sinful activities, she was withholding her opulences. And Srila Prabhupada makes the same point here, that the material world, there's no scarcity of anything except Krishna consciousness. When there's a lack of that supreme element, Krishna consciousness, the Bhumi withholds her opulences. There's droughts and shortage of this and that. Natural opulences which are afforded to us by Mother Earth are withheld. The real problem is that people are out of touch with Krishna consciousness. Everyone is engaged in material sense gratification, but people have no plan for making an ultimate solution to their real problems, namely Jamna Mithyu Jara Vyadi. The Acharya, seeing this, was quite concerned, as is the mood of the Vaishnava. And this is going to be further pointed out here by Srila Prabhupada in the next verse. Lokagati dekhi Acharya karuna hridaya vicharav karena lokera gaiche hitahaya. Seeing the activities of the world, the Acharya felt compassion and began to ponder how he could act for the people's benefit. Purport. This is a really wonderful Srila Prabhupada's purport. This sort of serious interest in the welfare of the public makes one a bona fide Acharya. An Acharya does not exploit his followers. Since the Acharya is a confidential servitor of the Lord, his heart is always full of compassion for humanity in its suffering. He knows that all suffering is due to the absence of devotional service to the Lord. And therefore, he always tries to find ways to change people's activities, making them favorable for the attainment of devotion. That is the qualification of an Acharya. Although Sri Advaita Prabhu himself was powerful enough to do the work, as a submissive servitor, he thought that without the personal appearance of the Lord, no one could improve the fallen condition of society. In the grim clutches of Maya, the first-class prisoners of this material world wrongly think themselves happy because they are rich, powerful, resourceful, and so on. These foolish creatures do not know that they are nothing but play dolls in the hands of material nature, and that at any moment, material nature's pitiless intrigues can crush to dust all their plans for godless activities. Such foolish prisoners, my gosh, such foolish prisoners cannot see that however they improve their position by artificial means, the calamities of repeated birth, death, disease, and old age are always beyond the jurisdiction of their control. Foolish as they are, they neglect these major problems of life and busy themselves with false things that cannot help them solve their real problems. They know that they do not want to suffer death or the pangs of disease and old age, but under the influence of the illusory energy, they are grossly negligent and therefore do nothing to solve the problems. This is called Maya. What a great definition. People held in the grip of Maya are thrown into oblivion after death. And as a result of their karma, in the next life they become dogs or gods, although most of them become dogs. To become dogs in the next life, to become gods in the next life, they must engage in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, they are sure to become dogs or hogs in terms of the laws of nature. The third-class prisoners, being less materially opulent than the first-class prisoners, endeavor to imitate them, for they also have no information of the real nature of their imprisonment. My gosh, that is a beautiful statement. Thus, they also are misled by the illusory material nature. The function of the acharya, however, is to change the activities of both the first-class and third-class prisoners for their real benefit. This endeavor makes him a very dear devotee of the Lord, who says clearly in the Bhagavad Gita that no one in human society is dearer to him than a devotee who constantly engages in his service by finding ways to preach the message of Godhead for the real benefit of the world. The so-called acharyas of the age of Kali are more concerned with exploiting the resources of their followers than mitigating their miseries. But Sri Advaita Prabhu, as an ideal acharya, was concerned with improving the condition of the world situation. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. That's one of the most powerful purports I've ever read. In every line, Srila Prabhupada is making such profound statements. And obviously it's due to his realization. Srila Prabhupada first points out that the serious interest, to have a serious interest in the world, in the welfare of the public in general, makes one a bona fide acharya. Prabhupada gives this definition of an acharya as one who doesn't want to exploit his followers, but instead his interest is always to some or other help the conditioned souls, as Prahlad Maharaj also. Prahlad is also expressing that same sentiment that there's no fear of the condition of the material conditions of material life. But the real anxiety is that there's individuals who are suffering. In that beautiful exchange between Ramanuja and his spiritual master, who told him, don't give this secret mantra out, when he goes out immediately and starts proclaiming it to all the citizenry. And afterwards, his spiritual master is angry. Why have you done such a thing? And his, what was his answer? Yeah, if this is so powerful, then everyone should have access to it. And he's willing to even transgress the orders of his guru. And his guru, of course, accepted him, accepted this, and became submissive to Ramanuja. So the real acharya is one whose concern is for the suffering conditions of the citizens. And not that he's making some plan to exploit them, as we find in the histories, how so many so-called acharyas, they take on their position only to exploit their followers in so many ways. And not really giving them a transcendental knowledge. Not because he himself doesn't understand what devotional service is. And instead of finding ways to change people's activities, their intent is to make a subordinate, make them subordinates to some or other, use them as a form of gratification. So Advaitacharya here was a bona fide acharya and was powerful enough to do that work. Although he himself could have done it, as Prabhupada points out here, because of his submissive nature to his guru, being Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, understanding the position of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took on that submissive position, that how no one could help the fallen condition of the of society outside of the Lord himself. Therefore, he prays in the following verses. We'll hear so many wonderful sentiments that he expresses. But because the general mass of people, and although they may be first class, second class, third class, they're all prisoners within this material world. And they, as Prabhupada points out here, they wrongly think themselves happy because they may be rich or powerful or resourceful, right? They know how to manipulate the material energies. But such foolish people, they can't actually see how these artificial means are not going to improve their lives. They some or other have to get in touch with the devotees of the Lord, just as here, Advaitacharya is such a bona fide acharya. Those who are giving that real knowledge, Tirtukuvani, Tirtani, their association is so important. Not only are they purifying wherever they go, but their association and service to them is so important. Foolish people, they neglect these the real problems of life. And as Prabhupada points out here, they don't know, they don't want to suffer, of course. Nobody wants to suffer. But the problem is they don't know how to get out from underneath it. And that is called maya. But by the association of the devotees of the Lord, the real acharyas, those who are engaged in Krishna's service, Vrindavane ramananeti prasida bhumo tatrapi Krishna balarama subhada mule. There's a very nice description that describes how the pure devotees, they're situated
at the feet of the personality of Godhead. Tatrapi Krishna Balarama Supada Mule Jnanam Param Param Krishna Sudharma Tuktavs. What is that? Dantasta Teva. I forget the last line. Dantasta Teva Pranamami. I forget the last line, but it's a beautiful, beautiful description of the Acharya who's situated at the feet of the Supreme Lord, and how he's preaching the topmost message. He's preaching transcendental knowledge, not like the cheaters who can't help those foolish creatures who are struggling in this material nature. And not only is he preaching, but he's mastered his senses. Not that he's attracted or deluded into thinking, now that I have such a position, I should take advantage of it. No. Namaste, namaste, mahananda datre, namamo, namama, punya, raksha, raksha. That the glance of such persons fills one with transcendental bliss. Just their glance. Just their glance. And you can you feel some relief. Therefore, the devotees are playing, kindly glance upon me. Kindly have your mercy. Kindly give your mercy to me again and again. This purport, it's just again, we could talk about it forever, but on that note, we wanted to say a few things about Madhavendra Puri. Since Madhavendra Puri is described as the spiritual master of the Sri Advaita Acharya, Sri Madhavendra Puri was a disciple of Lakshmipati Tirtha. Madhavendra Puri's disciples included Ishwara Puri, Advaita Acharya, Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Puri, Raghupati Upadhyaya, and others. Nityananda Prabhu is said to be, is said by some to be Madhavendra Puri's disciple. Others say that Lakshmipati was his guru, while the Prema Vilas states that he was Ishwara Puri's disciple. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, Madhavendra Puri was a well-known sannyasi of the Madhva Sampradaya. His disciple was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prior to his appearance. His grand disciple was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prior to his appearance, there was no evidence of Prema Bhakti in the Madhva line. The seed of the religious doctrines of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can be found. These are quotations again from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhakti Ratnagara, and Chaitanya Bhagavat. Nityananda met Madhavendra Puri while wandering through the pilgrimage sites in western India. As soon as they saw each other, they were overcome with the symptoms of ecstatic love. Vrindavan Das Thakur describes this event in the ninth chapter of his Adikanda. While Nityananda Prabhu was wandering through South India, he suddenly encountered Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra was the embodiment of love, as well as were all his associates. He consumed nothing other than Krishna Rasa, and Krishna dwelt in his body. How can I sufficiently glorify him whose disciple was Advaita Acharya? When Nityananda saw Madhavendra Puri, he fainted and became motionless with love. As soon as Madhava Puri saw Nityananda, he too completely forgot himself and lost consciousness.
No wonder Gauranga repeatedly said that Madhavendrapuri was the harbinger of the ecstatic mood of devotion. Nityananda Prabhu said, I have visited many holy sites, but today I have been fulfilled by the sight of Madhavendrapuri. I have finally achieved the true reward of visiting the holy places. I have never seen symptoms of such divine love anywhere else. Madhavendra loses consciousness simply upon seeing a cloud in the sky. Madhavendra Puri embraced Nityananda Prabhu and wet him with his tears. He began to describe Nityananda's glories and became completely absorbed in this description. He took Nityananda to his breast. His throat was so choked with tears that he could not speak. He felt such deep affection for Nityananda that he would not let him go. He finally spoke, saying, I know that Krishna is merciful to me, for he has given me a companion like Nityananda. Anyone who feels even the slightest enmity for Nityananda can never be dear to Krishna, no matter how much of a devotee he appears to be. Madhavendra Puri is the embodiment of ecstatic love, loving devotion. Simply by remembering his name, all perfections are achieved. Ishwara Puri, Ranga Puri, and so many of his other disciples were intoxicated with the wine of devotion in the way he was. Madhavendra had many disciples throughout Bengal and Orissa, all of whom were devotees and fixed in prema bhakti. A few days later, in a place on the west coast of India, Nityananda met Madhavendra Puri. Who can describe the manifestations of love that arose upon their meeting? Only those who were there can know. Madhavendra treated Nityananda as a friend and equal, but Nitai treated him like a superior. Madhavendra Puri said, I know that Krishna has been merciful toward me, for he has given me a companion like Nityananda. Even so, Nityananda never treated Madhavendra as anything but a guru. And then, of course, there's the wonderful pastime with Shakshi Gopal, which Srila Prabhupada so wonderfully elaborates on in, I'm sorry, Shirchar Gopinath, which Prabhupada so nicely elaborates on in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We'll finish off here by reading one thing that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes about Madhavendra Puri. The feeling of separation from Krishna or transcendental viparalamba is the only practice by which the spirit soul can achieve perfection. Material feelings of separation give rise to a despondency that reveals the attachment one has for matter, whereas the despondency that results from the feeling of separation for Krishna are the best proof of one's desire to bring pleasure to his senses. The desire to bring pleasure to Krishna's senses shown by Madhavendra Puri, the great soul who is the root of this movement, is the ideal example to follow for anyone who wishes to serve the Lord. It is especially worth remarking that Mahaprabhu and his closest followers later adopted this example and made it their standard. Madhavendra Puri's disappearance day is the Shukla Dwadasi of the month, in the month of Falgun. Sri Madhavendra Puri Prabhu Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.